Today's gospel gives us a familiar but a very powerful parable of the prodigal son. And one point I wanted to reflect upon is, you know, in this parable, the prodigal son was part of the Jewish people. So he was already in the promised land. And the promised land was not just a geographic territory, but the promised land was a place where God's people that he had called from all the nations of the earth could live freely and worship him. It was a place where people would live under the covenant of God and be in proper relationship with him. And so when the Israelites entered the promised land, the land was divided up amongst the different families, and that land was passed on through the generations. So when this son, he takes his share of the inheritance and he squanders it, he leaves the promised land and goes into Gentile territory. And so he's not only turning away from his father and his family, he's also turning his back on God. And he did so in order to indulge in his own selfish passions and to experience the world in the sense of the fallen world, meaning what this world offers us apart from the will of God. And so he left the promised land, and he left God behind, and he left God's family in order to do that. If we reflect upon this, I'm sure every one of us can see ourselves in the prodigal son. Because every time we turn to sin, you know, we turn away from God, we turn away from our spiritual family, turn away from the church, and we lose sight of what our dignity really is and turn to something sinful in order to indulge our own sinful pleasure or whatever this world offers us, whether it's, you know, the false promises of popularity or human respect or greed or whatever it is. And some of us perhaps have turned away from the Lord in small ways, others in big ways. Maybe it was for a brief period of time, or maybe it was for many years or decades, or maybe most of our lives. You know, maybe it was our entire youth that we spent with our backs on turned towards God. You know, think of how many members of our parish have fallen away from the practice of the faith and don't come to Mass on the weekends. And they've left the Father's house and are seeking other things. Perhaps there's some right now here in this church who are living that way, you know, with their sight and priorities set on other things. Or perhaps there's some people today who have, just as the prodigal son did, come to their senses and decided to come home. But I'm sure each and every one of us, if we reflect upon our lives, can see an element of the prodigal son within ourselves. It didn't take long for the prodigal son to find himself in dire need. And I think that's an important lesson about what sin does. You know, sin leaves us unfulfilled because it never gives us what we truly need, what our hearts truly desire. And it never gives us what it promises. You know, sin in the world might promise us fulfillment in so many different ways, but it never actually fulfills us, and it cannot fulfill us. Because ultimately, we are created for union with God. And it's only through seeking God and ordering everything in our life in that direction that we seek fulfillment. And so what the prodigal son finds is, first, he finds himself very quickly in dire need. And he finds that suddenly, even though he sought after the world and the things that the world offered, you know, so readily, you know, suddenly when he was in need, the world turned its back on him. And there was nobody that he could turn to. Nobody cared that he was suffering. Sin isolates us from the one who truly cares about us. And what we'll find if we lead a life of sin is that the world doesn't care about us in return. And so it's at that point where the prodigal son, it says he comes to his senses, or some translations will say he comes to himself. He comes to realize what his dignity really is, and that being a slave or a servant in his father's house is better than the condition he found himself in. You know, slave to the world, a slave ultimately to Satan. And he recognizes, and through this wake-up call, he realizes what he had lost. And that's when he comes back to his father. We can see in this story a good allegory for the sacrament of confession. You know, when we turn to sin and embrace things which draw our attention away from God and draw us in other directions. And then when we repent like the prodigal son, we come to our senses and realize the emptiness of what sin offers us. And then we come to a priest, our spiritual father. And a priest is waiting in the confessional, just like the father in this parable was waiting for his son to return. And he saw him from afar because he was there waiting for him. You know, so too, that's what happens in the sacrament of confession. And then, like the prodigal son, we make an act of contrition. And then we hear the words of absolution, which free us from the power of sin. It breaks the chains that sin forms upon us. You know, just as the father welcomed the prodigal son back, so too in the sacrament of confession, we're welcomed back to our dignity, to our place within the church, and set back on the course to the true promised land. Confession is a beautiful and a powerful sacrament. And unfortunately, many people reject the sacrament of confessions, people outside of the Catholic Church and many people within the church. And there's many reasons why people might do that. I think one of the most common reasons is that people will say that they don't need the sacrament of confession or they don't need to go before a priest. They can just go right to God to have their sins forgiven. But people said the same thing about Jesus Christ when he was on earth. And when he would say, "Your sins are forgiven," people would scoff at him and say, "Who is this to forgive sins?" They didn't believe that Jesus Christ had the power to forgive sins. And so it shouldn't surprise us that when Christ gives that authority to the church, that people would behave the same way. You know, Christ said in John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23, he says to Peter, he says, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." And so Christ passes the authority and the power to forgive sins to the church, to the priesthood. And so we shouldn't be surprised, though, that if people didn't accept the power of Jesus Christ to forgive sins, then they'll question the power of the church to forgive sins as well. But that is the authority that he gives to the church. And the sacrament of confession has power not because a priest by himself has the power to forgive sins. You know, regular human beings do not have the power to forgive sins. But the sacrament draws its power from the passion of Jesus Christ. That the passion of Jesus Christ acts through the sacrament of confession. And when a priest forgives sins, he's not doing so by his own power, but because through ordination he's been conformed to Christ. He's become an alter Christus, another Christ. And so it's the power of Jesus Christ working through the priest sacramentally through which sin is forgiven. And the church asks us to confess our sins once a year. It's traditionally called the Easter duty, but certainly more frequently than that is better. Certainly for a mortal sin, confession is necessary for the forgiveness of a mortal sin, and certainly before receiving communion. But confession also has great power with venial sin, because in the sacrament of confession, it not only forgives sins, but also has the power to heal us. And so frequent confession helps us to overcome even the venial sin within our life. So it's very fruitful. I want to close with a short quote from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And she had a very powerful experience in the sacrament of confession. And perhaps this gives us something that we can reflect upon. But she says, "Our Lord himself I saw in this venerable sacrament. I felt as if my chains fell, as those of St. Peter at the touch of the divine messenger." She refers to St. Peter when he had been incarcerated and the angel came and the chains just fell from his wrists. She felt that the power of Christ within the sacrament was freeing her from the chain of sin in just the same way.